Happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. This is Novo A. Calypso. And I do hope that everyone is enjoying their day today. My voice is a little stuffy because I caught one of the viruses that have been going around, but I'm always okay with it because it builds up my immune system for anything else that would be coming later on in the year. So I don't get really bothered by things like that. I don't really care for the duration of it, but I always feel my immune system will be built up towards something greater. So please excuse my voice. I know it sounds a little like I have cotton balls shoved in my jaws, but it's just getting over this virus. I want to talk to you a little bit about why I became a mystical numerologist and what it has done for me, what mystical numerology has done for me, and what I hope that it does for each one of my clients. The difficulty that I see is people are moving too quickly today, dashing from one thing to another just at such an enormous rate that we're spending too much time with what's considered preoccupations, distractions, and hindrances, that most people won't spend the time to do what's considered the great work. And no matter what age we're in, the reason we come to the planet is not to get involved in individual strife, but is to learn to live a balanced life. And that's considered living the balanced life of a cosmic man or woman. And a cosmic man and woman is balanced between heaven and earth, which is heart and head. It is wise for us to learn how to become balanced, but in our Western civilization, it's almost like running with the bulls. As soon as we're born, we're in this foot race to this means of an end. But when we really look at things, we tend to get lost in so many distractions, but we don't know what that means to an end is. And the means to an end usually turns out to be some sort of an illusion of somebody else's imagination. So our purpose on the planet is to live from a balanced state. However, a great many of people don't know how to attain this because of the teachings that we've had of living through the left brain and compartmentalizing everything and having rigid pragmatism and depersonalizing everything. And I really feel this gets into our nervous system. And it's rather toxic. We really have to look at ourselves as trees. And trees are conduits that balance energy. They balance the energy from the heavens or from the sky, and they draw up nutrients from the earth, from the soil. And then they balance this and they send this energy out to us. With, you know, trees do a wonderful, wonderful thing for us all the time. That's why it's pretty astounding to cut down our life force. Because nothing that man can build could ever duplicate what nature does for us, especially with the trees and water. But if we look at ourselves not disconnected from the trees, but a lot like the trees, then we'll have a realization that we have roots that go out into the world from the day that we're born. And the roots I consider our antenna, which is our nervous system. And there are little feelers, and we go out into the world, and most of the things that we pick up from our environment is toxic. And that's just not a visible toxicity. That's just, toxins that we draw in through our root system, through our nervous system, that affects our entire organic body. And the toxins I see are they're non-truths. And I don't really lean heavily to cabals, but in our age today, there's so much power in government, in major religions and corporations, that most of the toxins that we're receiving is through the sensationalism of media, which is hand in hand with these organizations and corporations, and it's toxins from the major religions that are pretty much outdated, and they're just toxins of that we've been feeding each other of cliches and ideologies that just don't make sense anymore. And everything gets stored inside the body as we continue with this fast movement. But no matter what, we're still taking in this energy. If we don't stop within our process and decide, I don't want to live this way, I have to stop allowing these type of toxins to come into my body, then we continue for many, many, many years, and the body finally collapses. If the body's not getting good nutrition, I'm not talking about just food. I'm talking about nutrients and good nutrition from our environment. The organic body can't last. And when we send out our root systems and we send out our little antenna, which is our nervous system, We're picking up so much debris, and we're picking up so many toxins, and we're picking up such poisonous vapors, and it's created such discordance inside of us, because the energies that we're picking up is chaotic energy. It's not energy that's harmonizing with us at all. Take, for instance, the Industrial Revolution. And companies and corporations need to have growth and go global, not really paying too much attention to the quality that their customers receive, but more interested in their bottom line and profit. Well, to me, that's toxic. Where there's not a harmony between them and us. There's not a harmony between the people who are creating within the creation that they give to us. There's no harmony whatsoever. So 9 times out of 10, I don't see how these objects can work for us, because it's not harmonizing with who we are. And we have to remember that human beings were able to live through their intuition and imaging as groups. We were able to image within the material as groups, so therefore things were harmonized. But today, it's just not like that. So we take in a lot of toxic, poisonous things into our organic body, and no matter what, each individual is connected one to the other and connected to everything on the planet. And to think that we're each walled up in an individual tower and we're exempt from this process really isn't the truth. We carry this energy, pours into us as much as cosmic rays pour into us, as much as any of the atomic substances, particles and substances from the universe pours into us. Even neutrinos are pouring into us all the time. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. And everything on this planet carries an energy. So we're taking in so much bad energy. But we're also, because we're taking in this bad energy, we're also putting out the bad energy. Because we've taken it in. And it's kind of conditioned our system. And whether we want to or not, we release these to other people, you know, with psychobabble, with even professionals are following a lot of professionals are following the same antics as corporations do of it's volume that matters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when it's not. It's in the quality of the service that we give, and we really can't let that lack, because we have to see that how we're treating others is exactly how we're treating ourselves, or how we want to be treated, which is actually the golden rule of Christianity, which I haven't seen followed in many, 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 many years. But that, to me, is a foundation of Christianity, is to follow the golden rule. So one of the main reasons why I got involved with mystical numerology is because it's accurate and it works. Because of living within this world now from the enlightened, from the effects of the enlightened age, from the industrial revolutions, from commercialism, everything has gotten to be so far out of proportion that there's no balance. It's too much. The consumption rate is just too much. You know, to attain things is one thing, but it's just the consumption rate is absolutely too much. When we come onto this planet, we come onto the planet innocent. And I don't really care what major religions say, but we don't come in here with any kind of sin or blemishes or darkness whatsoever, because the universe just doesn't work that way. The universe doesn't dump debris from eons ago back down on top of us to hamper our growth. So to me, I look at the reflective principle. If nature doesn't do that, why should mankind? So I don't believe that. When people talk about sins from past lives and things like that, I disregard it, because I don't really care what I did in past lives. I have this moment now, and I have the full support of the energies of nature and the cosmos to move to my higher self or higher octave. And it becomes my choice whether I want to or not. There's nothing that really dictates that I should. And so therefore, I evolve at my own process. And through mystical numerology, I've been able to have the greatest involution inside of myself. Now, when I came onto this planet, I was born under Irish Episcopalians and in a very poor section of Philadelphia. And the parents were ruled by their Irish families, and they were ruled by the Episcopalian Church. And so my parents basically became robotic to whatever the minister in the pulpit said, instead of using their own authentic thinking, instead of using their own psycho-spiritual self, instead of using the originality of their spirit that existed within their heart, they mimicked not only what the church said, but what people in their society said. And I noticed that today, too, is that most of the things that people say, it's not authenticity. There's no originality to it. It's mimicking. It's mimicking so much stuff. The American language is filled with slang and cliches. And we speak to each other in cliches. We distance ourselves through cliches. You know, as if the cliches not only justify the situation, but they give an answer as to why it happened, and it gives us haste to continue with our individual strife. So a lot of what people say is a mimic, is mimicking from other people, from other sources, from anything that's in the mainstream. Anything from the larger media. So you hear an echo or a mimicking when people interact with each other, and it's downright infuriating, because it's when people say that, you can hear the tone of that mime. You don't hear the tone of truth and authenticity, which my ears are adjusted to here due to mystical numerology. So with the Irish Episcopalians, they followed everything that the church said. And when I was born, there was terrible things happening at the time. And so therefore my parents felt inadequate and diminished inside of themselves, and therefore that's how they treated their children. But at a young age, I had the inspiration of nature and spirit all around me. I was very drawn to nature. I was very drawn to trying to balance the inspiration I felt from above to the toxins that were supposed to be nutrients that I was pulling in from below. And I leaned more towards the truth within nature because of the benevolence and the compassion that existed that did not exist within the icy indifference of man. And that wasn't only, my parents, but the church and the worshipers and the neighbors. And it was just an icy indifference where people did not really come together unless they came together underneath the cross. And even then, it wasn't truth. It was obligation so that they can resurrect or whatever. But it wasn't truth. So a lot of things happened, and I was isolated from the main populace quite a bit. I was placed in places that were deplorable for any child, but I was isolated. I was isolated from the television, from the radio, from stores, from other children. I was very isolated because the church decided that I was the devil's child. Because when I was very young, I spoke out against the things that they were saying because I saw how it made my parents feel. And my parents were never happy after they came home from a church service. They were miserable. They were tyrannical. They were cruel. They weren't uplifted and joyous, and I voiced my disapproval about it. So I got treated very badly because the Episcopalian Church decided that I was the devil's child, something that I've never believed in, but something that my parents didn't know whether they believed in or not, but felt safe to stay within the masses and the herds to believe such a thing. But I'd see the agony in my mother's face, whenever they hurt me, and they hurt me badly, because I saw that she really didn't know what she was doing. She was just mimicking. And times haven't changed. People are mimicking things at a faster rate. People are mimicking things that Dr. Phil says. People are mimicking things that clinical psychologists on Oprah say. People are mimicking mimicking not because they believe it, only because they heard it, and that's infuriating. Like the phrase "kick them to the curb" is a mimic, and to even think about kicking another organic being that's carrying the same essence of spirit inside as you are, and to discard them, like a wrapper from a candy bar, doesn't make sense to me. And I think that is one of the rudest comments that I've heard recently. So the reason I gravitated towards mystical numerology is because it is a practice that is free of sin, guilt, and fear. And it's also a philosophy and a practice that keeps me in an interconnection not only with all of nature but with all people too. And when I looked at my when I started working with my own patterns, I saw that how I vibrated inside had meaning within these archaic symbols that were very ancient. And what I decided to do was just focus upon the patterns themselves. I gave myself a focus. And because I gave myself a focus within the spirit of the patterns, I was able to integrate my energies that had been severed when I was a child, because everything is put into different ologies. Everything had, and it's still that way today, everything has its own separate compartment to be dealt with. And no one person could be dealt with as a complete whole being, because they were chopped up into little pieces and put in all these different ologies. And the same thing happened, of course, to me. But I was against it because my inspiration from the energies around me basically informed me that this wasn't life. And it wasn't like people talking inside my head. It was more or less of benevolent energies that showed me images in my mind, and within the images were words. And the kindest, most softest words were inside these images. And I'm coming from Philadelphia, we have a strong harshness to our language. And one of the reasons why I left is because I couldn't stand the harshness any longer. I just could not stand the way that we spoke to each other. It was so harsh and so dagger cruel. And coming out, when I came out west, people noticed that I had this harshness in me, which alarmed me, because I thought I was a lot softer. So it took me years to soften that harshness, because I didn't want any kind of energy that was coming out from me affecting other people in a negative way. I wanted to remain in a balanced state, to live through my heart and through my mind, but I wanted the energy to come up through my heart first, which is how I live today. In mystical numerology, I could train myself to do so. In mystical numerology, I had a greater understanding of how I was interconnected to nature and the cosmos. And the truth of my being was spoken through the patterns that existed through me. There's a lot of people who I sit down and talk to, and they tell me, I'm just a conglomeration of many different people. And within our nervous system, within the nervous system cells, we carry these imprints over the years. And these, we don't have to live in the imprints, and that's a large lesson to be learned here. Is we really don't have to live within those imprints, and we don't have to spend decades of our precious time going inside an imprint and analyzing it and reanalyzing it, when the imprint is the imprint. It is what it is. It's imprinted in us as much as toxins imprint water. But water continues to spiral down the stream. It continues to be alive. So we have to continue to be alive. And we hope to pick up enough to place ourselves in environments with good enough nutrients that the positive will starve out the negative. So I'm not fond of the infant soft side of psychology, the infant soft science of psychology, only because of staying within those imprints for so long. And what can you, how can you redesign that imprint? But you can redesign your life by going to the positive and by living through the heart that's connected to the spirit that exists on everything in this planet. And that's truth. So I found that through mystical numerology. And what I also did was stop measuring myself, which is very strong in Western civilization, to measure oneself against other people, especially measuring within a system of stratification, just seems self-defeating. I mean, this whole stratification and power thing that exists within Western civilization is a crackpot illusion, and it's transient. It's not going to last. It doesn't evolve the human race. In fact, there's de-evolution instead, devolution. So if it doesn't take one to a higher octave, and if it doesn't take you or me or people around us to a higher octave, I really don't think that that energy should be lived in. It needs to be expelled. So my mystical numerology and the practice of Huna, because I merged the two together, what they did for me was allow me the freedom to align all my energies inside, all these energies that felt so torn apart or a conglomeration of haunts within the imprints of my nervous system. And through mystical numerology, I was able to look at the archetype patterns and, that have existed for thousands of years and look at the sacred geometry proportions of movement within them. And I was able to use my own imaging techniques to align my energies so that I could come from a place which could be considered center. Some people would consider it heart-centered, which in our current civilization would be called, well, they are compassionate. Because we're photons, we're light beings anyway, we're all compassionate. And one of those internet computer things, the signal got lost somehow. So I'm really not too sure of where I left off. Because I kept jabbering, I kept talking, and so I really, I'm not too certain of where it stopped. So I don't like to be redundant or repetitious. So I'll try to pick up the flow. With mystical numerology, I was able to use the information about the symbolism and the archetype patterns that exist in sacred geometry and nature, and align my the purity of my own energies. Because no matter who the person is or the creature is on this planet, everyone knows that there's that divinity that exists within inside of us. And everyone knows that when we place our hands on our heart and we breathe from the heart energy, that we feel nothing but purity of who we are. And this is truth, because we are all interconnected with this spirit, with this divinity, with this divine essence that's inside of us, with everybody else and every living thing on the planet. And our essence is no greater or no lesser than anyone else's. So therefore, to feel lofty about that is an illusion. It's the same energy. We just have an organic form that has kind of allowed our energy to move about. So it's this divine energy, spirit, or whatever you would like to call it, that's in an organic form, just like it is with a rabbit or a mole or an alligator or a dolphin. It's the same exact thing, and it's not greater or lesser, and it's not seen as greater or lesser within the impartiality of the universe. So mystical numerology, once I stopped measuring myself on the stratification ladder, and once I realized that power was just this thing to control, to want this insane control, and I was able to let that go, could I feel the purity that exists from my psycho-spiritual self, or from my heart, which is actually who we are, and then live through that energy. Now, a lot of us, as I said in the beginning, a lot of us find this difficult because of distractions, hindrances, preoccupations. And my work with people can become frustrating, because I really want to help someone grow. I really want to work with somebody. I really want to help somebody develop. All my clients, I want to see them live in their highest potential. But they move so fast. They, especially the Americans, are moving so fast that if it doesn't happen tomorrow or next week, then they're bouncing off to something else. And if I can't ensure them that they're going to have their finances increased, which only they can ensure that by reaping what they sow. I mean, that's just a universal law. If you work towards something with passion, of course you're going to have the you're going to have the abundance that you need. But if you think it's going to drop out of the sky into your lap, well, I think that we need to rethink that type of philosophy. So people move too quickly and they get tied up in the preoccupations and distractions and the hindrances. And I've been involved with numerology, mystical numerology, for 30 years. And it doesn't mean that I'm not affected by the things that go on with other people and within society or on Gaia. I am, because I'm connected to it all. And I don't stand above it. I don't sit on a pedestal in the middle of the universe, and I'm not shielded from any of this. And I accept that. You know, my nervous system, my antennas are connected to everything in the universe, just like anybody else. And we're connected as units, but we're supposed to create a greater unit together and go to a higher octave. And this really isn't happening. Everything is becoming too separated, and there's too much chaotic energy. So with mystical numerology, it has never exempted me from any process, and I wouldn't think that it should. It hasn't given me any greater protection than anybody else has. My life is exactly the same as Joe the Plumber or President Obama. And I'm fine with that. I don't want to be Joe the Plumber, and I don't want to be President Obama, but I do try as hard as I can to put out as much harmonizing energy as I can, because I know that my energy, my vibrations are going to go out and affect other people, whether they're aware of it or not. My atoms are going to go in them upon meeting them. And a lot of times I'll decline from going to restaurants, I'll decline going to friends' houses, I'll decline going to dinners, and I'll decline going to a lot of places where there's a great deal of people. Because I know that upon entrance, I'm going to be picking up this energy from all other people, and I just don't feel like going through the cleansing process to expel the negative energy that I feel coming into through my nervous system. And the harmony would be to have greater consideration and responsibility towards what we're putting out into the environment. Like, corporations really need to consider that, you know, their bottom line of growth and globalization, and not paying attention to harmonizing with their customers is eventually just going to, you know, create their downfall, because this type of energy is not moving with higher forces. If you're not going to move with higher forces, then it becomes very transient, because nature does come in and apply pressure to collapse that type of energy. If something is that inharmonious, it's not going to exist. So mystical numerology and the Huna gave me a step-by-step practice and philosophy to apply to the vibration. So I merged them together, because Huna is a 10-step process, or I call it Ho'olahu'lima, and it's a 10-step process to have integration with your energy. So I, through the sacred geometry and nature's patterns of mystical numerology, I had a greater understanding of how I was connected to the all, and how I could never really control these energies, especially trying to control the imprints within my nervous system. I just accept it. You know, I accept that I have these imprints. These things happened, And a great deal of things happened when I lived in Philadelphia. Some very horrific things, and they're imprinted. And from time to time, something will happen that will trigger the imprint, but I'm aware that it's an imprint, and I can choose whether I want to live within that imprint or not. When I was a young man, I would live within the imprint. But getting older and practicing my science and my arts more, I stopped living in the imprint and refused. So going into people's homes with a lot of people I don't know is a very precarious thing for me to do, because I'm not too certain whether I want to have these energies infiltrate my body. If I go to somebody's house, I usually have to know all the people that are coming, and it's not that I'm being selective, it's just that that's my self-preservation. And going to restaurants, if I do, it's usually a very the atmosphere is very important to me, and I won't go to a restaurant that has a great deal of people, because I do not want to pick up the energy from the people, you know, couples off in the corner and arguing, you know, parents yelling at their children. I don't want that energy. So one of the reasons why I'm telling you this is that there is just no, to even think that we're separate from one another, or separate from the movement of nature, or separate from, like, even the movement in a hummingbird's wing is an illusion. To think that we don't exist without benevolent, wise energy around us who wants nothing but to uplift us, to go to our higher self, to live within our full potential, to live within the purity of who we are, is an illusion. And it's the only mistake that we can possibly make. Any other mistakes that we make within the larger view of things, human beings have been known to make mistakes for millions of years, and that's that. You know, we're not the first ones to ever make a mistake, and we're certainly not going to be penalized by the energies around us, because they don't stop to stagnate to hurt somebody. It just doesn't happen. So if there's cruel things that do happen to us, we have to remember that there's not these hobgoblins or angels or things that have a harrow that are pushing these things our way. And we really don't have to analyze of why they came to us, because we may not ever know the answer, and honestly, who cares? But it's 90% of what we do about it within that moment, and 10% of what happened. So on this Christmas of 2009, I really would like to reach out to people's hearts and let you know there is just not the possibility in any universe that you're alone. And there's not a possibility in any universe that you ever can be alone. And if you feel that you're alone, then it's wise to let go of that type of conditioning from wherever you heard it, and let go of those mimicking voices that would say that you are alone, that you're your own independent little universe, and everything is separate and disconnected, and it's not true. Yes, there is discordance on this planet only because people and entities not living within the harmony for each other, and not only taking care of the spirit that exists within them, but taking care of the spirit that exists within others. And this is what's paralyzing everybody today. But it doesn't mean that you or I or anyone else or a bird or a hamster or a hawk or an eagle or a dolphin or a whale is alone. And dolphins and whales already know this. Most creatures know this. We're just not alone. Any time that we want to open the communication, we could do so, but it's not going to be through the head, it's going to be through the heart. In all the major religions, the Jains, the Shinto, ancient Egyptian, the study of universal laws, the Hawaiian culture, Polynesian, the philosophy from Atlantis, from Lemuria, teaches us that we are interconnected and we are not alone. And what we should do is learn to balance between head and heart, which is called the cosmic man or woman, and allow our psycho-spiritual self to pour through every single solitary pore of our organic being, to live within the truth of the purity of who we are that is connected to the source of the all that's around us. And a lot of times people feel, or they think, I don't know if they feel it, but they think they're separate. And we're not. And all the thoughts that you're putting out goes into a larger matrix. It goes into a larger system because it's an organic body. And so all these thoughts that we're putting out they create a specific veil. They could create a specific band that is a very large aura that halos the human race. And each culture has its own halo. But a lot of the halos within the cultures are being broken up because of people's wants and desires have grown because of corporations basically telling them they're self-inadequate because they want to globalize and they want your money and they don't care if you can't feed your kids. Buy the plasma TV. We can't let this happen. So we have this halo around us, almost like a shroud, that contains all these thoughts. So when people sit around and they're criticizing themselves, they're actually criticizing the forces of nature. And this all goes up into this band, into this halo. And then when others want to reach up for inspiration, what do you think that they grab a hold of? And so a lot of us have to struggle to get beyond that halo, that shroud, that veil, to merge with the purity of the energies. But we have to really be considerate of other people and not invade their organic bodies with bitter, disillusioned energy, with hatred and violence, with rigid pragmatism, with depersonalization, with objectification. We can't tell other people to not wear their hearts on their sleeve or for men to compartmentalize their inner thoughts and emotions because it's cruel. And it's not true. We are all entitled to that expression of our whole being. And that expression of our whole being is the yin-yang energies, which is considered heaven and earth. They oscillate together. You really can't separate them. And to do that, I would think it just takes this magician quality. So to get back to the early Christianity, the teachings were, at that time, regardless who spoke them, that we are miraculous beings, and we can create miracles inside of ourselves. Not that we had to, be impaled by a spear and find our salvation in another world, another dimension, another time. But we are miraculous beings that are capable of creating miracles inside of ourselves and therefore creating miracles for our community and for people around us. And I think that we need to hold that message, that we are miraculous beings because we carry the miraculous energy of nature and the cosmos. How can we not be miraculous? And let's not forget this. You, I, Joe Blow the plumber, Obama, President Obama, we're all miraculous beings because we all carry the divine spark. Everything in existence, every living creature carries that divine spark. human beings have the human beings and dolphins and whales have the self-awareness to take this divine spark to help and aid others. So to pull all this inside an organic body is impossible, because no matter what, that energy is still being emitted. There's still cells that are being dropped off of us, atoms still. There's a million things going on with our bodies at one time, and just because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not happening. So we need to freshen ourselves with the energies that come from heaven. We need to freshen ourselves with the inspiration from our hearts and continue being the miraculous beings that we are. And we need to make certain that we don't allow our root systems to pick up toxins and poisons and debris from our environment. Just because we want to be a part of the group or the herd, it doesn't mean that we have to follow the masses and mimic what a higher authority say. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to find it to be false. And it's not truth. It doesn't really ring within our hearts. We don't kick living creatures to the curb. We reach out to them to help them. And if we can't find it within inside of ourselves to help, then we go into a group for inclusion to help the individuals. Kicking people to the curb, I don't even know where that comes from. I don't even see anything like that in nature. I don't see anything kicked away. I see that units are combined to create something stronger, so that's what we have to do. But we just don't have time. And we want our wants. We want our trophy people. We want our dreams to be answered. But they're just illusions. They don't make sense. They're from a storybook, Grimm's fairy tales. I mean, they just don't exist. So please know in your heart that you're not alone. Never will be alone. Never was alone. And open up your heart to the higher energies that are around you. And feel the joy, the song, and the peace that resides within the energies. When we open up our hearts, we open up our hearts to the purity of the symphony of music that exists within the universes. And we feel this music. And we don't have to define it, because it's a music that is pure. And the music always is benevolent, and it always has joy. And if we're not feeling that music, then we have closed our hearts off. But it doesn't mean that we don't have that ability and that the music isn't there. And it's there for everybody, not a select few. Nature doesn't select specific people. People and groups of people select specific people. Nature is very impartial, and nature sings the same beautiful songs to every living thing on this planet. And nature shares the same benevolence and joy. Open up your heart to feel that, so that you can love this divine energy, this divine spark that's inside of you, that is actually the whole of your being, and share this with others in a harmonious way, with consideration and compassion. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't, you know, have beautiful homes and nice running cars. We should. We should have those comforts in life. But overconsumption is just, you know, the proportion's too high. You know, that's when we're leaning too far into materialism. So there shouldn't be any guilt in wanting a nice car, but let's make choices to get the right car, where a group of people will make this car to harmonize with who we are, and not have engineers design the car so it could crap out at 100,000 miles, so that we're guaranteed to, you know, aimlessly wander back on the car lot and get another one. We all have to make these choices that enough's enough. We can't let the commercialism of the food industry dupe us. We can't let the politicians lead us to places we don't want to be. We each have to enjoy the divine spark that's inside of us, know that we're connected to the all through the visible acacords of our nervous system and through the invisible acacords of our spiritual being. there's just no severing of those cords. It's just absolutely impossible. So I'm gonna leave you on this Christmas day to remind you that what teachings did come 2,500 years ago were teachings of benevolence and compassion. They were teachings that said that we are miraculous beings and we are all connected through community. And we can't forget this. We can't allow the organizations that erected up out of this philosophy and this love to continue such a black magic control of our thinking, when that's not what the teachings were about. So remember that you are miraculous beings, each and every one of us, and you're never alone. And take the time to lay down still and light a candle and breathe from the heart. Let go of the distractions and preoccupations and the hindrance in your head. But go into heart, because this is something that lasts forever. It's a boundlessness. There is no time structure put on this. It is limitless. Our freedom is unlimited, and our freedom to express our compassion and our joy in the symphony of this beautiful music around us becomes our choice. So please don't feel alone. Please breathe up from the heart and let go of the mimicking that's inside the head that can never be sorted out anyway, because it's volumeless. There's just too many volumes of it. But turn off the TV. You know, try not to go into these environments where these toxin nutrients can come into the nervous system, because we're organic and this energy is going to come into us one way or the other. And sooner or later the body will collapse. So please be at peace and have joy within your pure self to know that the larger energies that are with us in nature and the cosmos has nothing but benevolence and goodwill for you. And that any time we want to be uplifted to merge with these energies and live within our highest will, we can. And when we do that is when we really feel one with the energies. And anyone from the vagabond in Chicago to a sheik in Arabia, to the hamster running on a wheel, to the dolphins being harmed in TG, all carry this energy. And we need to understand this. And we cannot treat that energy in another being or another living thing as we would not treat that energy inside of ourselves, because it is the divine spark. And that is the golden rule. I want to wish you all Merry Christmas, and I want to let you know that heart to heart, we're all connected. Live through the heart. Please have peace inside yourselves and have joy for being who you are, and listen to the symphony of the most beautiful, astounding music of all the universes, and give thanks to that music. Mahalo Akua.